Ladies and gentlemen, it's Monday. That means time to talk to Brother Johnny and Hall of Famer Mike Ditka. We begin with politics. Team Obama blasting all Republicans, Tea Party lackeys. Holy mackerel, they're coming after him, Mike, and they're coming after him strong.
Well, I tell you what, when they sink the ship, you know, they're all jumping off. This guy's taking a lot of criticism from the far left, actually. He's taking a lot of criticism from his own party. There's a lack of leadership in Washington like there's never been before.
And, Steve, you know, you saw the Republican debate, and the former governor of Minnesota, Tim Pawlenty, was attacking Michelle Bachmann for all kinds of things. And, of course, he's out of the race now. But he was just, that's his last-ditch effort. I mean, he was trying to catch the front runner, and that's what you do. You can only criticize the opposition if you have nothing else to offer, really.
Well, and for the Democrats to come out and call all the Tea Party's right wing zealots, these are people that are tired of too much spending. I don't think they're right wing zealots. There's some Democrats in there.
Well, they're not right wing zealots, and I think it's an interesting reaction to a grassroots movement that says we do not want a federal government growing at 6 or 8% a year,
yeah.
Period. That's what we don't want. The other side says we are going to have that, just like we're going to have health care, and then you must be a right winger. Get out of the way. This is what you're going to get. Take it or leave it. So we'll see how our system works. Mike, I think the majority of the people are more favorable to the Tea Party feelings. The media can really beat it down, and you can get a poll that shows they're sinking in population. But what they're saying is, in their popularity isn't an issue. It's what their point is, which is we don't like the way the politics, the federal government, the policies are taking us. And I think that's a big chunk of the population of this country. I don't know.
Well,
I think that's a failed strategy.
The definition of the Tea Party is simply this: concerned Americans, concerned about their government, out of control spending, debt that's rising beyond, government intervention into everything, regulation by the government into everything, and that's not what our government was meant to be. So when Obama starts crying and when the Democrats start crying, talking about the Tea Party, they're concerned Americans about the direction that our country's going right now, because of the people in Washington. They don't have enough courage to stand up and do what's right. That's their problem.
Well, Barack Obama's down to 39%, and Johnny and I were talking about this, Mike. Who are the 39% that can defend what's been going on? All they can say is, we inherited a mess, and it was worse than
that's all they're going to do. Yeah. They're going to keep blaming it on the former administration. This guy is no leader at all. He has no leadership qualities. Instead of acting, he reacts. And that's the worst thing you can do. If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. I mean, these are old sayings, but they're true. I mean, name one. He hasn't taken one step. You know, it's like, and I listened to the other day I can't even say the names. I watched the Republican debate for a while. Then they got these 12 guys, this super caucus or 12 congressmen. What the hell? I mean,
yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, Newt Gingrich.
You got all these other people. They're going to make the decision for all these other Congress. Come on. It doesn't make any sense. I mean, this super thing, whatever they call it, committee. Come on.
Yeah.
Stop it. It's absolutely a joke.
And Stevie, Mike, Newt Gingrich was saying it's the dumbest thing
exactly.
I've heard.
Yeah.
He was a Speaker of the House.
Yeah.
And maybe a lot of people might not like him. I think he has a lot of good things to say.
He does. What he said was right. Now, they may not like him. It's fine. You don't like him because he's a conservative. That's fine. But what he said is true. You got a whole House of Representatives. You got the whole United States Senate. And all of a sudden, you're going to take 12 people, 6 on each side, and they're going to make this decision. Come on.
And then if they don't make a decision, Steve, Newt says basically they're going to say, well, you know, you got to gut this and gut that. It's like asking you, we can shoot you in the head or cut off your leg. Which would you prefer?
Right. No, these are really incredible times. And the stuff I get on the streets, people are very frustrated across the board. There's no question.
Well, you're right, and it should be that. I mean, they should be at both parties, really. But, I mean, my God, when you're standing there and you're making a statement, I'm the leader of the greatest country in the free world. Lead. Just lead. Take a stand and lead. You don't have to be. Your party doesn't have to agree with you on everything. Take a lead. Do something that's right for our country. Put our country in the right direction. I mean, I don't know if he's going back on campaign promises about cutting spending or cutting some of these entitlement programs. It's got to be done. It's got to be done. And I don't want to hear about, oh, you're taking food out of babies' mouths. No, it's not that. There's enough charitable causes, enough people who will help those people in every situation. But when you start forming these regulatory, I don't know even what you call them, I mean, entitlement programs, it's ridiculous. I mean, we saw it with Acorn. You see it with everything. It's wrong. It's wrong. You take away the incentive of people to work, and that's wrong.
And incentive to be independent, and that's what we are. We're a group of individuals in a group of independent states who want individual freedom, and that's where the argument is, which is, okay, one side says, well, to have that, we need a huge central government to make sure everybody gets what they deserve, defined by who knows who, maybe 12 people on a committee appointed by Reid, Pelosi, and two others. And then there's the rest of us who say, no, we don't really need that much being taken care of. We can look out for ourselves. You just take care of the big picture, okay, take care of our borders, and we'll take care of the rest. And that's the argument. We're in a very critical debate for the future of this republic, and I don't know that the republic as we know it makes it with a huge central government, because the very definition of the Tea Party, which is Americans who basically threw tea off of a ship to protest central control from England and said, we're not going to be controlled, taxed, and regulated by England. That's where America was born. And I don't know where that was radical then, but I don't know that it's radical in the context of the American Republic and our Constitution.
John, it was radical, but it also paved the way to independence.
Exactly. It was radical for the King of England, but it's not radical for us.
No, it's not radical. Believe it, there's nothing radical about it. Well, you know, you have a bunch of whiners in the media. You have a bunch of whiners on the left right now. They complain and whine about everything. You know, if you don't agree with what they do, the liberal way of living, you know, big government, then all of a sudden you're wrong. Or you're the enemy. Well, you're not the enemy. You're just the person who has a different thought on things, and your thought is more closely correlated to what the American dream was all about, with the Constitution, Declaration of Independence, and all that stuff. All of a sudden now we got our government's so big it's ridiculous. And it's one, you wash my back, I'll wash yours, believe me.
Yeah, and I think that's why Harry Reid says the Tea Party will fade away. Here you got a group, a grassroots effort, that's spoiling their fun. I mean, they're trying to uproot the traditional way of doing things, and the way that the establishment, even establishment media, was lamenting that the Tea Party people that were elected this last cycle couldn't be bribed. Chuck Todd said that on NBC. He said you can't give them anything, any committee, they don't go for it, and they couldn't believe it.
And that's what we need.
Yeah, that's exactly what we need. And Harry Reid says the Tea Party will fade away.
Wouldn't you like to hire Harry, hire Harry Reid to run your business?
Oh.
He'd run it right into the ground.
Oh,
I mean,
man.
My God,
sure.
You talk about I'm sorry. You talk about a weak person, and I mean, and Pelosi the same way. These people, but they don't know what they talk out of. It makes no sense.
All right, Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka on the line with us, 93.5, 95.3, the new Connect FM. And one other aspect I wanted to touch on, Michelle Bachmann wins the straw poll. Close second is, who's the close second? Ron Paul. And then and then came Tim Pawlenty, who backed and left the race yesterday. So now you have Michelle Bachmann. I mean, she's real, isn't she?
I think she stands her ground. Pawlenty made a case that what she stood for passed anyway. I think that was a very poor point. I think that she's standing up for what she feels the majority of Americans want, which is not what we're getting. That's the problem. And she hasn't. So he was saying she's not effective because she wasn't able to stop health care. She She wasn't able to limit the debt ceiling, but she stood her ground, and I think people appreciate and respect that. So I think she's a very big player in this race. I think they all are, Mike. I like the number of candidates right now because you have a debate. Ron Paul, I don't believe he can win the nomination, but he has a lot of good points.
He has a lot of good points.
Yeah.
You're right, John.
And then
you've got to... They've got to come up with somebody. You've got a lot of good people.
All right, shifting gears, Texas A&M to the SEC. They say no, not now, but maybe later. Boy, I tell you, that was a surprise to a lot of people, Mike.
Yeah, I really don't understand what's going on. They're talking about maybe 2000. I really don't understand it. I mean, they're going to destroy this whole conference thing. And now Texas has its own, you know, sports network now. I don't know if you knew that, TV network.
Yeah.
Sports TV network. They have their own thing. The girl that used to work, actually was my boss at ESPN, Stephanie Jewish, she's gone down to run that whole thing. She's a Texas graduate. So, you know, now they're becoming so independent in this thing. I don't know where it's going to lead with televising games and things like that, but they're going to create a whole different new source of revenue for the university that's not going to be shared with the other teams in the conference.
And Texas A&M's talking about SEC play, which is...
That's the one of that. I thought they were going for sure, and then they said, well, maybe 2012 now.
Right, right. And they got to get a 14th team, I think, is one of the issues. But I'm sure the SEC would love the Texas market. That's a big deal.
Well, A&M probably needs to stay right where they are. But Mike's right. Texas is kind of taken over.
Yeah.
And that's an issue with the rest of the teams in the conference. So, we'll see. That's something to watch. College football.
Yeah. All right. And that's coming up here. We got 8 home football games for Illinois. 8 home football games. That's the first time we've ever had 8 tailgate opportunities in Champaign-Urbana.
Well, that's good news.
Yeah, it is. All right. Milwaukee has lost 2 times since July 26. They're 16-2. They lead the Cardinals. I'm telling you what, when you win all your baseball games, it's hard to beat that.
Well, they get everything. They're getting timely hitting. Hey, pitching, everything they're doing right now is right. And they're a good ball club on top of that. But, you know, one thing that happens when you start winning in any sport, your confidence level goes up. And right now they're a very confident baseball team.
And how about Atlanta's Dan Ugla's 33-game hitting streak comes to a halt in the Cubs yesterday, and the guy, Barney, the second baseman, makes an over-the-head diving catch toward the right field wall from second base to rob him of a hit. 33 games in a row, that's a lot of games.
That's tough to do.
Woo!
That was you know what a big deal was when DiMaggio did it for 56, so that's pretty good. 30, that's pretty impressive.
Well, Mike, I've been telling Stevie that I'm in a good year right now. 56 years old, our DiMaggio year. And I don't know if anyone's going to break that record, Mike.
I think when you look at all the records, you know, and even the home run records, I'm not sure they'll ever be broken. I see that, you know, the guy up in Toronto just hit his 34th. But, I just don't think they're going to be broken.
Well,
I mean, there's something magical about what Manuel Maris, Ruth, and those guys did. I mean, that was special stuff. And the 56 games hitting streak, I don't think will ever be broken.
But shouldn't it be Roger Maris, 61? Shouldn't it be Hank Aaron, 755? I mean, we all agree there was a steroid era. I mean, Sammy and Mark McGwire and Barry Bonds, there's no way I think they should stand with those records.
I agree with you, but you can't take it away from Maris. You can't take away from the other guys. I mean, they did what they did.
Yeah.
Whether you like it or not, they did what they did. Roger Maris was a class act, and he was the quiet man, you know. All the publicity went to Mano, but he was the quiet man, and he got it done.
Those guys were real athletes, and they did it pretty much a natural record. So.
On that trowel.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. All right, that's Mike Didcombe, Brother Johnny. We'll take our break and be right back with our final few minutes in just a moment on 93.5, 95.3, the new Connect FM. We're back with Brother Johnny and Mike Ditka, Hall of Famer, icon, all-around great guys. Keegan Bradley wins the PGA. I mean, and Johnny, you've said it many times, it all started with Tiger, and now there's 100 of them that can hit it a mile and just play unbelievable golf. This young crowd is crazy good.
They're just going to keep coming, Steve. I think that's a typical PGA golf tournament, Mike. You're going to see these guys come out of nowhere and win these tournaments.
You're right, John, but I don't think they come out of nowhere. I always tell somebody tonight, I went and spoke to a father and a son thing when I got back out at Butterfield Country Club. And, you know, there's 150 guys on the tour that can win every week. And the amazing thing about it is most of them think they can now. They don't fear Mickelson. They don't fear Woods. They don't fear Furyk. They don't fear, even Donald. They don't fear guys. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to beat him every week. But if they go up there with the expectation that they can beat him, and if they play their best game, they're on a par with him. And I think that's what you saw today. I saw the interview before the golf match started with Bradley. What a brilliant man. I really enjoyed what he said. I didn't get a chance to see how it finished out, but evidently he went down and then he made a remarkable comeback and ended up winning it in a playoff.
It was unbelievable. Jason Duffner standing on the tee on 15. All of a sudden, he's five shots up on Keegan Bradley with three to play. Unbelievable. And so they, birdie and bogey in a weird combination, they go to a three-hole aggregate playoff, and Keegan Bradley wins by one. He's a rookie. He vaults to 29th in the world. He's exempt from a million tournaments. It's unbelievable. And this is a kid that wasn't recruited by anybody, played golf for St. John's, and now he wins a PGA title. Unbelievable.
Well, it's amazing. Yeah, it really is.
I played golf yesterday, Mike. It was 100 degrees, and that's about where I ended up.
I played out over the weekend. I was out in California, out at Dana Point, actually, around Newport Beach, and I went out for a surprise party for Fred Smith and his wife and his daughter put on, and we played that golf course out there at the hotel out there. I mean, and I played it before because I've stayed at that hotel, but it really was nice. I mean, the weather out there, my God, guys, it was terrific. But my golf game, I want to tell you something. When I really smack it hard with a driver, it goes about 230. These guys smack it with a 7-iron, it goes 230.
Tell me, how do guys use 8-irons for 184 in?
I don't know. I have no idea.
I don't get it. I don't get it. I do not understand that. I don't look like they're swinging that hard.
They're not that big either.
No,
some of them.
I don't know. It's amazing to watch. Well, guys, we're going to leave it there, but I really appreciate always your time and wisdom, and we love visiting with you on Mondays and Fridays. Mike Ditka, Brother Johnny, thanks, guys, again for being on. We'll talk on Friday.
Thank you. Have a good trip.
Right, thank you, guys. God bless.
God bless you. Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka, Mondays and Fridays, 7:30 to 8 on the new 93.5, 95.3 Connect FM.
Great insight.
Always fun. Always a pleasure catching up with both of them as well. Not easy.
That'll be so cool when he's in town. 11-11-11.
Yeah. Mike Ditka will be here along with Jim McMahon, Punky QB. Mike Namoff putting that on.
Yes.
And if you want to be part of that, you can call Mike, Big Mike, over This Is It Furniture for details on the coach and the Punky QB in town for a fundraiser. It'll be fun.
Yeah.